Hey, I'm Ivan.
Hey, I'm Kelly from the Rosebuds.
I like revisionist history, so let's just throw a bunch of things out. Let's see, there was a college band originally, but then when somebody canceled, there was a new band. I believe I heard that one. 10 years, you survived the breakup of a marriage. See, we did that, now we're done. Poof, it's over. North Carolina, great place to be from. Nice weather, except in the summer when nice beaches, except when it's too damn humid. An album of Sade covers that people are still telling you should have, you know, done more Sade covers because, you know, you want to cover every album by every artist because it's really important. Christmas album, I think I've done it. Off the top of your head, throw anything at me.
How crazy do you want me to sound?
You see, now that's a rhetorical question. One of my degrees is in rhetoric. As crazy as you want to be.
Okay. Something I think is significant that I have never told anybody about is that I'm a Gemini and Ivan's an Aries. And I think that's a good combination because it's air and fire for creative situations. And our the only other longer time collaborator of Ivan's is also a Gemini. And he's Brian, who's in our band right now.
Do you agree with that?
I do agree.
Do you care about Aries and Geminis? Is this just like a girl thing?
I think it's probably a girl thing. I think all these songs are based out of what I would imagine a band was like when I was driving a tractor as a kid.
So you name a record Sand and Silence, and people could spend a lot of time reading into that, especially after things that have come before, because, you know, sand just kind of trickles down, or it can be in one of those time things. And silence, we've all been taught that the most important things that are said are the silence in between words. So should we go deep there or just say it was a cool name for the record?
You can go deep. I mean, it's definitely, it's a cool name because it's really significant, because both of us kind of retreated to the coast before, when we were working on ideas for the record and getting ready for the record, you know, emotionally and with intention to go back in and record. And so I spent a bunch of time in the sand on the beach, and Ivan spent, he also did a lot of the Sade record on the coast at the beach of North Carolina. And so that's been a place, even like when we were kids, that we would go to as a mirror to sort of understand who we are before going into something so that we can get to an honest place. That's what I think it is.
And I think this is a great quote, and I'm going to throw a bunch of these at you. When I write a song, I know what Kelly is going to think before I present it.
It's like how you need boundaries in your life. You also need like songwriting boundaries. So I already know like the whole ending of the songs before I write them. Like, I know where they have to fit and where they have to go when they're in a Rosebuds project, and I know like what she'll like and what she won't like, you know. And it just helps me get this place to go to write these songs, you know.
So neither of you are in the place where the band is from at this moment in time.
Yeah, well, I moved to New York so that I could go to school at Columbia for an MFA in fiction writing, and I got accepted and went. I'm going now. I'm about to start my second year. And so I'm just doing that. And it's a good place for me to be with my thoughts and my brain right now.
Yeah, I went to Portland for a while and just kind of a relationship took me there. And when I was there, I kind of learned a lot about myself and like started falling in love with the outdoors and just kind of
so green.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And like growing up, I was kind of like was outside all the time as a kid. So I rebelled against all that until I got to like kind of my age now, because I always thought like, why would anybody want to ever be outside, you know? But now like I finally understand, like, oh, okay, because I've been traveling in a major city every night for 10 years almost, that like now, like when I hike 2 miles up the side of a cliff, I'm like, oh, okay, I understand this. This is really
fun. I think
fun.
You should wear that T-shirt next time you go to Portland. A T-shirt that says, why would anyone ever want to be outside? Could you imagine the reaction you would get on the streets in Portland if you wore that T-shirt? The guy that everybody is spending a lot of time on who played on this record, actually the two guys, those guys from those Bon Iver guys, the Bon Ivers. How do you pronounce that? I know how to pronounce that. But the choice made sense to me.
It's sort of like he just happened to have a recording studio. Yeah, it was Justin's idea. And we did it, you know, so fast. And
But you did okay. And this, I knew you were going to say that because I read that. But you did it fast because you went in and you had already recorded
the entire record.
And then you went in to do the record.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of homework. So it's great that you say we did something fast, but you're not pulling the wool over this guy's eyes on that one.
Right. Well, that's true. We did a lot of stuff before going in. But part of the thing that was great about having Justin be the producer on the record is that he's a hard worker, and he is beautiful, like infinite knowledge about music, and also just about us as people, because we've been so tight for so long that he kind of also was able to do the thing that Ivan does, which is to know what we want, you know, the two of us, what we would do if we weren't in the room. He knows what kind of choices we would make. So he's a really great person to have as a producer, because he's not trying to interject his own, you know, whatever it is. And for that reason, I think, like, I wouldn't be able to do what he does. But
he knows we're not going to use those Jackson Browne's chords in the Rosebud song, so he won't even go to that direction. So,
Ivan's just dying, hoping that Justin's going to hear this, because that was like an inside joke. But I think that, like, I think that it's just a really good fit, because all of the musicians that were in the studio are all friends of ours for a long time. Some of them are Bon Iver, Sylvan Esso, and Mark used to be in Bon Iver as well, who's on tour with us now.
And so did it just feel right to kind of not make changes, but kind of just take the next step? And heck, you don't need a big label behind you because you can self-distribute.
Yeah, pretty much. And like I was saying, it wasn't that big of a thing. It was just the timing just felt right to do it. And even when we were on Merge, it wasn't like, it didn't feel like a big label.
This started that you were originally going to take outtakes, or cut tracks, I guess would be a better way to say it, from Loud Plains. And that was going to become this. So where was that? I'll do it in the full weird announcer voice. Where was that pivotal moment where you listened to the cut tracks? Because these are your babies, right? You know, these were your babies. And you said, I'm just going to take more of my babies. Now, I could juxtapose the fact that maybe it was because you wanted a new narrative, and because that was from the old narrative.
There was no plan. I mean, the only plan was to work on the cut tracks from the last album and do something with them, you know, because we still liked them as songs. And I can tell you my side of the story is that Ivan came over to my apartment in New York after he was in the studio all day, and he said, "Hey, I wrote some new demos that I didn't really work on the old tracks that we were supposed to do, but I did this." And he played them for me, and I was really blown away, and I thought they were great and completely fresh and like a totally different, somebody like opened the window on a breezy day and these songs just came in. And I said, "Well, these are great." And he said, "Yeah, I don't want to do the other songs anymore. Can we just do this?" And
you got B-sides. You can always use all those cut tracks. You got a million. You've got this library of B-sides.
Yeah.
So you're, you know, I mean, better to have material than to have writer's block, right?
Yeah.
In the long run.
Sure. I mean, we have piles of demos and stuff that we've never gone. Yeah, we've got a lot of stuff out there. But that was my side of that story. What was your side? What happened to you? My side, I was
working on this song called Okay, and I was trying to put like an Ira Kaplan guitar freak out solo on it for like 3 hours. And I kind of gave up on that because, you know, I'm not him. But I kept getting tired when I worked on those songs. Like, I would just get tired.
That's a message.
Yeah.
That's a message that they're not fresh to you anymore.
So I just had this idea. Well, if I just put up some Patty stuff and just grab this piano over here and just kind of see what happens, that like maybe I could breathe in that room a little bit. And then when I switched to piano, then I realized, wow, I can't play the piano like I can play the guitar. So it just made everything that I played on the piano, even if it was three chords, just sound fresh and exciting.
Recording live. So how did you know? This is not the, so you recorded the record live and did you do it right to tape and blah, blah, blah. I don't care about that. How did you know when you had it?
In My Teeth is the first time we ever did that song. We rehearsed for like 10 minutes in the room. And then we were like, all right, hit record, BJ. And then we recorded it and we were like, I think that sounded good. And then So the idea was like, I don't wear it out. Let's just go to the next one. And then like every song was like that. And it just flew by.
We would have done more takes of the songs, but why would you? Because what was going on is like all of the guys who were playing instruments in the room were just so gifted and good that they were tasteful and there was accuracy there, everything that you needed, and it sounded fresh and great. So why would you do 10 takes?
Can I be evil for a second? I have a problem with certain reviews. Particularly the ones that, you know what you do with a bale of hay and you know what you use to do it? That you pitch and you fork.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Heard of that.
And so I'm just, I'm going to do the short version of what I just read. And then he's laughing. And we can either do one of two things. We can diss it or we can say we don't care. But I love this. And I don't love it. I love it so much I hate it. All sorts of new ideas lose sense of momentum. Clumsy prog-based something or other. Oh, I love this. Sickly sweet doo-wop that mistakes cutesy for twee. Anybody uses the word twee, it's all over with me. So self-conscious, it sounds like a band trying to feel its way forward.
Okay, I have never read that before. But that sounds like something I
would you like to know what your rating is so you can really go?
Yeah.
You're a 5.1.
Okay. So Ivan told me that we got a bad review in Pitchfork, and I just feel like after I read the Sylvanesso review, I decided go fuck yourselves, Pitchfork. It was like the most unfair review I've ever seen of a band, not ours, because I didn't read it. But when I checked out was when I saw how vicious they were about the Sylvanesso record, because they never really said anything positive, and clearly there is a lot of really great quality songs, great songs, and really great quality musicianship on that record. So I took personal offense to that because I really enjoy that record and those guys as people. And after that, I stopped reading.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs is the bread, two songs on the outside, and songs by anybody else you want to play in between.